Good morning. The Senate Education Committee is called to order. Today is Wednesday, February 28th, 2018. The time is 8 a.m. And the attendants are myself, Stevens, Schering, Senator Coghill, and Senator Giesel. I'm sure Senator Hughes and Begich will be here shortly. We have a quorum to conduct business. And today we're going to take a House Bill 214 relating to Breeze Law and dating violence. First hearing on this bill. My intent today to hear from the bill sponsor, any relevant stakeholders, get a brief summary of what the bill does, and take public testimony. We will entertain questions and discussion on the bill and hold it for further review. Before we start, and we also have Senator Begich and Senator Hughes with us, before we start, any questions or comments from the committee about what's going on? Okay, so we have the bill sponsor with us, I believe. The staff, anyway, would you introduce yourself, please, for the record?
Hello, and good morning, members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Patrick Fitzgerald. I'm staff or representative Harriet Drummond.
Thank you, Patrick. Glad to have you with us. If you could explain the bill, please.
House Bill 214, the naming of Breeze Law, is part of the Alaska Safe Children's Act. Breeze Law refers to Bree Moore, who was a victim of dating violence, which ended her life being needlessly taken. Alaska ranks in the top 10 states with the worst records of dating violence and sexual abuse, with more than 1,000 high school students reporting sexual dating violence one or more times in 2017 alone. Not only is it a horrifying statistic, but it also is a scary glimpse to the future of generations of Alaskans who think that it isn't abnormal to experience abuse in a relationship. Everybody has a role in preventing dating violence, and establishing a line of help and awareness is one of the many steps that need to be taken to end dating violence. Breeze Law will address the dating violence section of the Alaska Safe Children's Act in an effort to create an effective, knowledgeable awareness to combat the horrible trend that plagues Alaska. Our hope is that Breeze Law will become recognized and identified in helping young adults in relationships be able to access any help they need to remove themselves from abusive relationships. Breeze Law is being referenced by educators all over Alaska and is the informal identifier of dating violence prevention. By passing House Bill 214, we'll make it official. Online are the champions of Breeze Law, Butch and Cindy Moore, Breeze parents, who between the three of us can answer any questions you have on the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fitzgerald. Do we have a sectional on that? I'll take a brief at ease. Fitzgerald?
So running through the bill, we have Section 1 of House Bill 214. Basically, it just addresses the short title, an act may be known as the Alaska Safe Children's Act under AS 14.30.356, enacted to Section 14 of this act known as Breeze Law. Section 2, the uncodified law of the state of Alaska, is amended by adding a new section to read Breeze Law programs and Breeze Law activities, education, training programs, and activities developed or undertaken by school districts implemented in AS 14.30.356 shall be known as Breeze Law. Section 3, the uncodified law of the state of Alaska, is amended by adding a new section to read retroactively Section 1 and 2 of this act, retroactive to the effective date of Section 1, Chapter 2 of the SSSLA 2015. Section 4, Sections 1 and 2 of this Act are effective on the effective date of Section 1, Chapter 2 of the SSSLA 2015, and then Section 5 is just the effective date, effective immediately.
Thank you, Mr. Patrick. Any questions of the sponsors? If not, we'll go on to invited testimony. I believe we have with us, and thank you very much, Patrick.
Absolutely.
I believe we have Butch Moore and maybe Cindy Moore. Are you with us today, Mr. and Mrs. Moore?
Yes, I am here, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Butch. Pleasure to have you with us. Would you identify yourself for the record and give any testimony you'd care to?
Yes, my name is Butch Moore. I am Bree's dad. I want to thank all the members of Senate Education this morning for being here. And I would like to thank you for your prior support in passing HB 44, known as the Alaska Safe Children's Act, and our new senator, Tom Begich, who is not here in that session, I would like to thank him for co-sponsoring the mirror bill, Senate Bill 132. You have all supported this legislation that has come forward to save the lives of our children in Alaska. And it's very important what we've done and what we've accomplished, and I think I should probably go back a little bit and refer back to the Safe Children's Act Task Force, which actually identified the education that will be taught in Alaska today, which is existing education nationwide for grades 7 through 12. And one of the things the task force came up with in the report at the bottom of page 10, there was a special note. It said the task force recognizes that additional curricula and resources need to be identified or developed for grades 10 through 12. And what we discovered is the education that we mandated across Alaska to be taught, there is really no education grades 10 through 12 that discuss the lethality of dating violence. There is not anything in existence in the country that's peer-reviewed, data-driven curricula that talks about you could be murdered. And so what we've been doing in the last couple years is we have been working with the State of Alaska Department of Education, multiple different agencies, Anchorage School District, Mat-Su School District, multiple different Native corporations, and we've come up with several different things that we've worked on together collaboratively with multiple different agencies, and part of that is developing a small module, which will be a video that can be downloaded to any school district by any teacher with a short one-page question and answer session portion that can be discussed in the classrooms. And what we found in talking with schools and students, when we speak to students and when we speak to a school body, we have found that they identify so much with Bree's story. And most recently, we spoke at Stellar in Anchorage. And the first question, which a student asked at the end of our portion of where we speak, and probably half of the time that we spend with the kids are question and answers, but the first question is the same question we get every time, which is, why are we not getting this education? And what they realize is they have had the education already, which started at the beginning of school year in 2017, but they haven't identified with it. And when they hear Bree's story, it all makes sense to them. And so we've worked sending out posters. This February was proclaimed Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month by our Governor Bill Walker to coincide federally with Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Cindy and I printed and mailed 3,500 posters to all 359 middle schools and high schools. And the purpose of these posters is that we realized after talking with the teachers and the teachers union and the school districts, one of the big gaps was that the teachers were being put in a position of 10th, 11th, and 12th grade of teaching a subject that they had never taught before. And the students, if they wanted to talk to someone, didn't necessarily want to talk with that teacher, and the teacher maybe wasn't as well equipped to talk with the students as they would like to be. And so when we worked with the Department of Education and multiple different agencies, the network and the council on sexual assault and domestic violence, what we came up with is an 800 number that's 24/7 that is staffed by trained advocates who can talk to teens and adults. It's a national teen dating violence awareness prevention hotline, which is located at loveisrespect.org. And teens and parents and teachers can text, chat, or talk anonymously if they feel like they have a problem. And this has been a huge missing link that will help teachers and will help the kids. The curricula can be delivered in the classroom. And if a teacher where a student wants to talk to someone, they don't feel comfortable, it gives them a huge resource that's available. And this is supported by our governor, also Commissioner Michael Johnson, wrote a great letter that was sent out to all the 359 schools with our posters explaining the campaign. And what I will do as soon as I get off the phone is I will forward an email to all the committee members here, and I will provide the copy of that letter. And also Rhonda McBride did a beautiful show Sunday night, which is a little bit of Bree's story. It's a little bit of the students after we spoke at Stellar High, and it's a little bit, the whole show is on teen dating violence prevention and awareness in Alaska. And I would encourage you to watch the show. I think you will probably get the most out of the show is not what Cindy and I have to say, because you've all heard us speak before, but when you hear what the kids have to say, it is so strong and it is so compelling that they want and they need this education. So when we came to pass this law, we didn't realize that this education really didn't exist. And so going forward, we'll develop this educational module working with the State of Alaska Department of Education and multiple school districts. I just got a phone call Monday that everyone is working together, and we got to go ahead. We'll have that video completed so that can be in schools next year. And in addition, the need for a statewide 800 phone number we have identified, and CDVSA is working on completing that through the Crisis Center in Fairbanks and some other agencies, because right now someone who's under the age of 18 has no one to call and will ask for help. There's not a phone number. There is no help. And so that is being developed as well. And Cindy and I were not aware of it until the governor signed the proclamation proclaiming February as Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. But this campaign and what we have all accomplished with you, our legislators, with the teachers, with the parents, with the kids, with everyone who has contributed to this, and with all of you there that helped pass HB 44, the teen dating violence numbers in Alaska from 2015 to 2017 that just came out have gone nearly in half. This is no different. This campaign is no different than the Wear Your Life Vest campaign. Since that campaign came out, drowning deaths in Alaska have gone in half. This is very much like Wear Your Seatbelt, very much like Friends Don't Let Friends Drive Drunk. So we're so thankful that what everyone is working on in Alaska, what we're all working towards, we're accomplishing. And this is a huge step in reducing domestic violence and sexual assault in Alaska, where we are still, unfortunately, number one in men killing women. And a couple things that people don't think about in terms of our statistics, over 50% of all women in Alaska have been sexually assaulted or physically abused. Over 50%. And that's huge. We're, once again, number one in the nation. But I want to thank you so much for the work you're doing, and this is all life-saving education. It may not seem as though it's that impactful, some of the things I've said, but keep in mind that the bomb at the Boston Marathon killed 3 people and wounded over 200. We do that in 3 months in Alaska, every 3 months. So with that, I'll let Cindy speak. And I'll thank you again. We would ask, if possible, to pass this through your committee today, and we can continue to save lives in the future. Thank you so much. Here's Cindy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moore. Before you speak, Cindy, we just appreciate your personal experience. You're sharing that with with everyone in the state, and your advocacy. I mean, you have gotten out or getting to the schools, really making this campaign as important as it should be and as impactful as it should be. I think we have some questions, and then we'll get to Cindy in just a minute. And just one thing I should clear up, just so everyone knows, that It's been a sort of tradition that we hold a bell for a couple of, for at least one or two hearings. So we're not going to deal with it today, pass it. We'll have time to think about it and bring it up again to finalize it. So Senator Begich, I believe, has a question.
It's more of a comment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to also just acknowledge that both myself and Senator Hughes have been here since about a minute after the gavel came down, and I wanted you to know, you know, Bush, you and Cindy, your patience and perseverance and persistence has been critical in ensuring that teen dating violence is on the forefront of everyone's mind. And I want to just thank you for that. That's all. Just wanted to assure you we're here and we're listening.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Mrs. Moore, Cindy Moore, if you have some comments, we'd appreciate hearing from you.
Hi, this is Cindy Moore. Thank you, Senate Education Committee, for hearing us testify today. Boy, I don't know how I can say anything more than what my husband has already said. He's kind of covered all the points, but I think it's really important. I'd like to encourage everyone on the committee to watch the Frontiers show with Rhonda McBride and watch the expressions on the faces of the kids when we're delivering Bree's story. And it's amazing and to see them come up after we speak. We have droves of kids that come up and, you know, hug us and maybe tell a little bit about a personal experience they have or a experience that they've seen their friends go through. And they all say, you know, thank you for bringing this to light. Thank you for talking to us. Thank you for providing, you know, a phone number with trained advocates where we can call, because in the past we just haven't really known what to do. We've seen maybe our friend be hit or slapped or choked, you know, by a dating partner before, but we didn't know what to do. And it's, in the past, it's always been something that we've been led to believe that it's not something we talk about, and it's not something that we should get involved with. But like Butch said, you know, it's much like the Wear Your Seatbelt campaign or Friends Don't Let Friends Drive Drunk. You know, there's something that all of us can do when we see dating violence happening around us. You know, we shouldn't be turning a blind eye to this, because there's something everyone can do to stop it, and this is what we're hoping to do with Bree's Law. And then also, Senator Lisa Murkowski had sponsored a bill in the Senate to name Bree's Law nationally, co-sponsored by Senator Dan Sullivan, and also House Member Don Young had a mirror bill in the House to name Bree's Law nationally. So this is something that's important, and we see it much like the Amber Alert. When someone says Amber Alert, two words, we all know exactly what is meant. It's an education in two words, and that's what we're hoping to develop with the naming of Bree's Law, instead of saying, you know, this is the Alaska Safe Children's Act, Teen Dating Violence Prevention and Awareness Education. We say Bree's Law. Two words. Everyone knows exactly what is meant. So, you know, it's all about creating awareness. It's about starting the conversation. And I feel like we're doing this, and we're making a huge, huge change. And I appreciate, you know, all your time.
Thank you, Cindy. Butch mentioned that he's going to email us some information today. And when he does that, will that include Rhonda McBride's video? Will that be in that email we get?
Yes, and I will give you a link to our Facebook page, which is where it's posted, and KTVA has had us posted on our Facebook page to drive more traffic to that with the other additional information. They don't have it up on their page.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to getting that. Any questions? Yes, please, Senator Hughes.
Yeah, thank you so much, Butch and Cindy, and it was good to hear you advocating at the two town halls this last weekend. Just wondering if you can tell us, as part of the training and education, are students instructed to contact law enforcement and report this kind of activity, and also the 800 number? Are the advocates advising the kids, or the advocates reaching out to law enforcement?
The National Teen Dating Violence Prevention hotline number is also the same as the domestic violence hotline number for adults. So anyone can call that number. And the reporting requirements are only to report, if someone calls a hotline, the agency's reporting requirements are only to report if there's child abuse or if there's senior abuse. The advocates, and another thing that we've done that's actually been really great, is that most of the agencies here in Alaska have not been hooked up or tied into the database with Love is Respect. And so through Love is Respect, we've worked with them quite a bit, and we've been able to get into their database. Most of the agencies in Alaska that provide services, when we first called, they only had, I think, five agencies, and now they have just multiple agencies. There are a huge amount of resources in Alaska, and what we found is that the victims a lot of times don't have a good link to get to those resources. So this 1-800 number provides someone for teens and adults just to talk to. If they need those services, they will refer them to those services in their city, in their village, wherever they may be, because now they have a great list to refer them to. As far as reporting and law enforcement, as much as I hate to say it this way, I am not trained as a telephone or responder. I am not 100% certain as what their encouragement is to report. I know that when a caller calls in, that they have a system and kind of a tree that they go through in terms of where they route them for help. I know the first thing they say, if it's an emergency, call 911. Are you safe to talk? It's okay if you hang up. And it is anonymous and confidential. So the advocates route the caller to what resources they see based on their training that particular caller needs. I don't know if there's an extreme encouragement to report, but I think ultimately that's probably where they try and route the caller. I hope that answered the question.
Thank you. Senator Hughes?
Yes, it answered the question, Butch, and as far as the 800 number. So what about in the middle and high schools when the training is occurring? Are the students being encouraged to contact law enforcement, or are they too just being given resources, and then those resource folks who are more knowledgeable would then advise them to contact law enforcement?
Well, I think the first step, and what we've seen when we speak in the schools, the first step is that, just like in a lot of other crimes, and certainly crimes against women, there's a lot of apprehension of even talking or going forward, and so that's kind of the first part of the education, is what to do and who to talk to and who to call. And if you are concerned, a lot of people don't want to talk about it. And when we speak at the schools, as we did at Stella, we have multiple different kids come up and cry and tell us their story and tell us what's happened to them or what is happening to them. And I guess to answer your question, we don't tell people to go directly to law enforcement. We get the kids or people that contact us, and we have had hundreds of people contact us through social media and other means in the last couple of years because they don't know what to do. And so getting the people to those resources is really, really important. The education that we're teaching in schools right now is grade 7 through 12, and that is from the information that was provided through the Alaska Safe Children's Act Task Force, which is Safe Dates, the 4th R, and those different curriculums. I don't think the first priority is to get people to law enforcement, but certainly if there's been a crime committed or if there's a child, there's multiple different agencies, and unfortunately I'm not well-versed enough to speak that we are directing people and kids directly to law enforcement. I don't think that's the path that we're directing them. First, it's to get help. It's to talk to a counselor. And I think certainly if there's been a crime committed, then obviously that's the route that they would go to.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Any further questions? Again, thank you very much. Butch and Cindy, what you are doing is having an enormous impact and very important. So we will now go to any public testimony. We have no one signed up at this time. Is there anybody in the room that wants to speak to this bill? If not, can we have you come back? Mr. Fitzgerald, any closing comments you have to make? Any wrap-up you'd care to make at this time?
I just wanted to apologize, Patrick Fitzgerald, through the chair. I just want to apologize again for the sectional, and I'll have it to your offices by the end, hopefully before the end of the meeting.
Thanks so much, and we'll make sure we distribute it to members of the committee. Does the committee have any further comments or thoughts or questions at this time? Yes, Senator Giesel.
Mr. Chairman, I'm looking at Senate Bill 171. This is a bill by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the governor. And it takes the first half of the bill we just heard, House Bill 214, and it adds into it reporting mechanisms. Mr. Chairman, I bring this up because of concern in terms of the testimony we just heard. The bill from the governor addresses reporting requirements for people who know about things that have been happening to students, and they're not school employees. So it makes reporting, gives guidelines for reporting for school volunteers. Mr. Chairman, we've heard testimony that students come forward after such a presentation and talk about things that have happened to them, but another phrase that was used, things that are happening to them. Mr. Chairman, adults that hear that kind of information become automatic mandatory reporters. And I see that issue addressed in the Senate version that that the governor has put forward. I think that's a critical piece to this whole thing. It's you know, when an adult hears that something is happening to a student, a child, Mr. Chairman, that has to be reported to the appropriate authorities. Whether that's the Office of Children's Services, whether it's the police force in the community. But that's my concern, Mr. Chairman, that House Bill 214 doesn't address that critical piece. So I raise that concern. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I appreciate that. I'll need to look into that, Senator Hughes.
Yes, and thank you. And I understand... And Butch's response was very much about making sure the victim is tended to, but I am as well concerned about the perpetrator going on perhaps repeating this with other dates, I guess, people that the person might date in the future. So the perpetrator, it is of concern, and I'm not sure the best way to handle it. I understand this if someone is currently experiencing it's a very tender, tough situation, but I do believe that if we're not trying to go after the perpetrator, we're just going to have more victims. And if this is the most dangerous state for women, I think that we need to be addressing that.
Very fine. Thank you. I appreciate the comments, and that certainly is an issue about adults needing to report that we need to address that. Senator Begich.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple points. The first one is, I see both of these bills, 214 and the Senate bill, as really separate bills. The fact that the Senate bill that we've heard before talks about changing the name as well is, I guess, maybe the backup plan. And that's going to take more work. We have that bill before us as well. I really see these as separate bills, though, in the first place. This one is simply, as Cindy Moore testified, really to ensure, if you will, we have a clear brand that it speaks to kids immediately, while the other bill may take more time for us to go through and delineate and determine. So I'm hopeful that we'll at least take House Bill 214 when it comes up the next time in committee, or the next, whenever you have that scheduled next, move it on to the floor so that we can at least get that piece of the law taken care of while we absolutely look at the more complex issue of making sure that all the, you know, that we're protecting kids' safety as well. This is sort of a, I see this bill as a first step in that, because it can happen immediately. It creates the identification and allows us to move forward immediately while we continue deliberating and hopefully creating a really strong bill with the Senate bill that was described earlier. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Further questions or comments? Yes, Senator Hughes.
And I just want to say I recognize that as an education committee, this dealing with the perpetrators actually would fall under Judiciary Committee. I just wanted to make that comment on the record that I am concerned, as Senator Giesel is.
Okay, I appreciate all of those thoughts. We'll take this into consideration and set this bill, House Bill 214, aside for further review. Any further comments or questions? If not, we are adjourned at 8:32.